So I think together there's five pretty good tips there.
Yeah, three from me and two from you.
What a team.
Welcome to You Don't Know Vietnam, the show that demystifies Vietnam for global audiences by talking to the creatives, trendsetters, and business owners who are taking on the market. Forget what you thought you knew about Vietnam. It's no longer that, as you're about to find out. I'm Ian Paynton, co-founder of We Create Content, a content marketing agency that builds audiences for global brands in Vietnam. On today's episode of You Don't Know Vietnam, I'm talking to sports journalist Tien Lu. Okay, so full disclosure, Tien works with me at We Create Content. He heads up our editorial media newsroom for the US sports publisher, The Sporting News. If anyone knows about the sports trends keeping Vietnam buzzing with energy, it's Tien. Today, he talks about the current sports landscape in Vietnam, what's going on with Vietnamese football right now, and his tips for what global sports brands must do to engage a loyal following of superfans in this sports-mad country of 100 million people. Tien Oi.
Hello, everyone that don't know Vietnam.
Thanks for joining me. Pleasure to have you here. I've been doing quite a few episodes of You Don't Know Vietnam, and I realized that I've done nothing on sport. So who better to ask than sports journalist Tien Lu?
Yeah, so convenient, right?
Who also works with me at We Create Content, yeah.
Nice. My pleasure as well.
Thank you. As someone that's writing about sports every day and has done for many years, what do you think it is about sports that people overseas don't really know about Vietnam? What's going on in Vietnam today in the sporting landscape, would you say, in terms of what people are playing and what people are watching?
First, I have to admit that it's really a big questions, but I will do my best to give the best insight possible for your audience here. First of all, we have to know that Vietnam is relatively young country. So 20% of the population fell between the ages of 10 and 24. Sport is a vital part of our daily activities here in Vietnam. And I read somewhere that 44% of people, of Vietnamese population, they play sport every day. And if working around the lake or early morning dancing is counted, the number would be higher, right? In terms of professional sport, there's close to 20 federations recognized by the government. The most popular sport really depends on the age demographics here. Overall, football is still the king and the queen of the nation. It's the nation's most favorite sport. No dispute about that. Football deeply integrated in the cultures and have a massive following across all the age, both in terms of actual people who play football and people who just watching football on TV. For the second place, it's a long story because for younger generations, particularly Gen Zs or teenagers, basketball is gaining significant traction. So it's not difficult for you to notice that nowadays every middle school and high school in Hanoi or big cities have a basketball coach inside the school. And let alone, if you remember our story about the high syndrome among the Vietnamese parents when they always care about how tall their children are, the high is super important for Vietnamese people. That's why they tend to believe that playing basketball can help you grow taller and taller.
Hold on. So there's a belief that basketball helps you grow taller.
Yeah, you can go back home and ask the landlord if you want.
I do remember that we were working together on some search engine content for the US sports publisher, The Sporting News, and something that people were searching for again and again was, what's the average height of the Vietnamese football team?
So even if the football players, volleyball players, or tennis players, people really care about two things. First is, where is he or she come from? The hometown. So you can know that the family part of the sports team is very important. And then the second stop they're searching for is, how tall is she or he? On the other hand, so go back to the original question, for the older generation, sport like volleyball and badminton still maintain a strong presence because they are deeply rooted in Vietnamese tradition and continue to be cherished by many people. We should not forget about esport, because I'm not saying it's booming, because it's already boomed for a long time. And you might know the statistic of Vietnamese have highest percentage of adult gamers in the world. Esport has become a legitimate part of the sport landscape, with the capturing the attention of everyone.
And it's mainly younger people, right? But also adult people are gaming as well.
Yes, correct.
How do we define esports, would you say?
One thing I noticed is people tend to confuse between esport and gaming. So when you're talking about esport, it has to be a tournament, a competitive match or game between two individuals or two organizations. If someone sitting in a coffee shop and playing game on his mobile phone alone, so it's not esport, right? But esport is a part of the gaming cultures. I think esport in Vietnam, they are deeply influenced by countries like South Korea and China. And in terms of the games they play, the games they compete at the international stage. And then for esport players, it has become really an industry here, where they play games for a living. They compete in the tournaments for the prize. And there's a massive audience for those tournaments.
Particularly in things like League of Legends, right?
Yes, correct. We all know that the craziness of League of Legends in Vietnam.
Is that the most popular game, would you say, like for esports, viewers and players?
Yes, when it comes to esports in Vietnam, League of Legends is number one. It's dominating in both numbers of players, numbers of people watching it on YouTube and Twitch, and even in terms of the Google search analytics. So League of Legends is number one. No contest.
There's that other example I remember me and you were discussing in the office. And it was the same week that the Vietnam national football team was playing. And there was a League of Legends tournament in China that the Vietnam national team was at. And the search volume for the League of Legends national team was so much higher than the football national team. And I know it was only a friendly, but I think that's quite indicative of just how popular esports is in Vietnam and the following that goes along with the national teams when they're competing in other countries.
Yeah, I know we might go back to the demographic issue later, but I think the young population play an important part to explain this theory. I think the younger people, they care more about esports rather than football. That's an alarm for football people, but that's an interesting start for the brands.
Yeah, yeah. And there's even, I guess, at one point as well, like gaming, there was some sort of negative stereotypes around it. A common misconception was that gamers are lazy, unproductive, and there's even talks about being addicted to gaming. But that seems to be changing now. There are even courses happening in colleges and at universities around e-gaming, from what I understand.
So I think the rise of esport and gaming coincidentally align with the rise of social media and streaming platform. So if you look at the most popular streamers in Vietnam at the moment, I think most of them originally are gamers. So at the beginning, they just streaming, they playing games for charities, for fun, for to attract more followers. And then they really, really grow to become a superstar of the entertainment industry. They have millions of followers on the YouTube channel. And then they don't need to play games anymore. They just talking online. That's why nowadays people have less negative views about gaming and esports, much more than in the past, because they see that it's not really that bad. And it's really a business.
I think you mentioned earlier that Vietnam has the largest percentage of adult gamers in the world. I read a statistic also, just to show how deeply ingrained gaming is in Vietnam, that there's 430,000 Vietnamese game developers, and 12% of the world's games, or every 25th game downloaded globally, is actually made in Vietnam.
Yeah, that's a shocking stat for even like people like me, because we all know that Vietnam is a small powerhouse in terms of IT workers, right? And gaming fits so well with that ambitions, because we have young population who have good knowledge of technologies. And then we can export that expertise to the world. We love gaming. We have expertise in technologies. And when we combine both of them products, no surprise that it could become a huge success.
Yeah, I've always wondered, apart from Vietnamese food, what it is that Vietnam could export to the world to put it on the map. And I'm a strong believer, given everything you've just said, about the importance of gaming here and the quality in production studios and young talent. Perhaps it's gaming, perhaps it's games that Vietnam could put itself on the global map for. I mean, maybe it's already doing that.
Vietnamese League of Legends athlete who now compete for a team in South Korea League, which is a good sign. We have been talking for so long about exporting football with players from Vietnam to the world, going to Europe or something like that, right? And now we have a athlete playing in the number one League of Legends league in the world, in South Korea. Why not, right? Why not? It's maybe in the future, we produce top talents of esports for every country, every major esports teams across the globe.
I like how you called that person an athlete.
Yeah, athlete.
So aside from esports then, obviously we've got football at number one. We've got basketball, especially among young populations. We've got badminton and volleyball, which I imagine spans across all generations, just like football. And then you've got esports. What other sports would you say are really important in Vietnamese culture?
Well, I think because you say that you are talking about the importance in the daily life of Vietnamese people, right? So we have to make it clear here is that doesn't mean people playing it a lot regularly, or people care about that, watching about that on TVs and read about that on newspaper. So I think for Vietnam, every time a national team success in the international stage, it attracts public audience to follow closely. Like last week, we have billiard players who won the World Cup in three cushion. You can imagine the headlines of a Vietnamese athlete becomes the world champions in whatever it is. It's always became the number one topic to discuss among Vietnamese people.
There's definitely a sense of national pride, isn't there? That when a Vietnamese star is doing well, everyone's going to be talking about it, searching about it, sharing about it, and I feel part of that success.
And because I think it's coming from the deep history, so Vietnam only attends the international events for less than 50 years. And then we really sensitive when it comes to the competitive of the sport event. So if we win against Thailand in a volleyball game. So it's not actually just a volleyball game. It's just, wow, the countries of Vietnam is no longer below Thailand in the global scale.
Is there an underdog story there as well? Is Vietnam kind of the underdog in a lot of these sports? And when the underdog wins, it creates even more hysteria?
So you mean in terms of the sport competitions?
Well, yeah, I guess in history as well, right? But that lends itself to sports competitions as well.
Yeah. I don't think that Vietnam can be considered as a successful sport country in terms of how many gold medals you got in the Olympics or Asian Games. But we are rising as fast as possible to catch up with other countries in the regions. And whenever there's some national team or athlete compete at the highest level of that sport, like billiard World Cup or shooting at the Olympic, where we have won gold medals in the Olympic 2016, it's always united the whole countries behind that team or athlete.
Yeah.
Because it's the sense of national pride you mentioned earlier.
I guess you've heard the story of the ultramarathon runner from Sapa.
Yes.
There are many people, I think, in Vietnam that think she could be among the best marathon runners and ultramarathon runners in the world. I feel like there's difficulty there because of Vietnam not recognizing ultramarathons as a sport. Is she getting the attention she deserves, do you think?
You are right about the recognizing part. To be officially categorized by the International Federation, you have to come through the local federation, the Vietnamese government entities who are handling all the running tournaments. But I think there's two ways to frame that. First of all, she's really massive in the underground communities, the running communities. Everyone knows about her. I think she already got a lot of sponsor contract for her from the Nutri food or ingredient superfood. A lot of sponsors. But I don't think she can compete for the national team or she can be representative of Vietnam in Asian tournaments, something like that. It has to come through a procedure. And I wonder if she really needs that to be more successful or to be more recognized if she already attends international tournaments and win the medals.
I think I should get her on here as a guest, don't you think?
Yeah, cool.
It seems to me that the ultramarathons and the marathon running and, you know, really gaining in popularity in Vietnam as well, because you've got things like the Vietnam Mountain Marathons, the Jungle Marathons. Obviously, you've got Ironman that comes here a lot. Those events seem to be really buzzing at the moment.
One of the trends I noticed recently is a growth and the development in niche sport in Vietnam. Let me ask you a question. Have you ever met anyone who plays baseball in Vietnam? Local ones?
No.
So in the past 2 years, I met 3 persons randomly who told me that they play baseball. And it caught me in surprise because no one knows that there is a baseball sport in Vietnam, because you know that there's massive baseball communities in South Korea, Japan, US. But apparently, baseball is growing rapidly in Vietnam, especially big cities like Hanoi or Ho Chi Minh City. And I came to a conclusion that nowadays there's niche sport that can offer opportunities for almost everyone. And marathons and ultra marathons, I think it can be considered as one of the niche sports because it only appeared a few years recently, right? And people often say that there's audience for everything. With the rise of marathons and triathlon, I think there's many other same opportunities like that out there. That's just waiting for people to grab and grow it in the countries. We already know that marathon is very successful. If you sell shoes or you sell the bicycle that serve triathlon, you already become very rich with the amount of newcomer who join the sport. And then you have to imagine that it's not only about football or basketball or volleyball anymore. There is maybe a tiny market, but it's less competitive, and there is just lying out there waiting for you to grab it.
It seems to me that the triathlons are sports, let's say, that usually are participated in by relatively wealthy athletes, just because of the type of bikes they need to buy and all the sports gear they need to invest in.
Yeah, I do agree with that. I do agree with that because I used to think about becoming a triathlon athlete. But then I'm getting married and then I gave up because no one gave me money for the new bicycle anymore. I think we read the headline on the newspaper that Vietnam now become very close to a middle-income country. So with the rise of the rich people, and they find a new way to become more proactive. They don't go to the football court. They don't go to the basketball court. When you are a CEO of the company and you are entering 50 years old very soon, so you choose more classy or unique sport like golf. So you want to be more different with the rest of the societies. The uniqueness here is important. When everyone is playing basketball, you can play baseball.
So which sports is the Vietnamese national team strong in at the moment and therefore will get loads of support when they play?
It's always going back to football. No matter how bad or how good the performance of the national team is. So whenever the national football team is playing, even if it's under 23s or under 20s, everyone is glued to the TV screen to watch the team. So no contest. But there is a few sports that the representatives of Vietnam who are very close to the world class level. So we have a female badminton player who is in top 20 in the world. And she often wins some international tournaments, which gains support from the even non-badminton fans. And also the sport like judo, taekwondo or karate, we have a lot of gold medals from Asian Games and sometimes even the Olympics for those sports. You have to be clear here is that not everyone playing karate after watching a Vietnamese karate became the champions of Asia, right?
Right.
So there's difference between watching something, supporting something, and actually playing that or actually follow that sport. So when you talk about the sport that can bring huge influence into the life of Vietnamese people, so we go back to football, volleyball, and badminton, and sometimes basketball, even though that our performance of basketball national team is not as good as expected because we are only top 4 or top 5 in Southeast Asia.
You mentioned about, you know, there's a real buzz around the Vietnam national football team. And what surprised me, I think, about the support of the national team in Vietnam was that even under 21 and under 23 games get a hell of a lot of hype and like national support. in England, people care about the first team, but they don't really care so much about the under 21s.
Mm.
There was that time, wasn't there, in, was it 2019, where the under 23s, they beat Indonesia in the final and the whole country just went into absolute chaos.
Mm, correct.
There's that thing called debao, which is, I mean, you tell me what debao is.
I'm not actually a debao person. I'm trying to stay at home and enjoy a beer, watching TV. But then there's an era from 2018 until 2020 where our national team, including the under 23s, had massive success never seen before in continental level. So we became the runner-up of the under 23 Asia AFC. We won one AFF Cup and two gold medal in men's football in SEA Games.
Mm.
And whenever we win something, people flock it into the street and doing whatever they think to show their happiness, to show their support for the national team, to be, I don't know what to say, but you've been there, right? You see the craziness on the street. People just staying on their motorbike and watch it, feel it.
Yeah.
With no intent to do specific things.
Yeah. It's like an outpouring of joy. So you go out on your motorbike. Debao, directly translated, means to go storm, storm the streets. Then it's literally get on your motorbike, get a few people on the back, carry some Vietnamese flags, and just rag it round the city, honking your horn, making as much noise as possible with no destination in mind. And it can last for hours and hours. The traffic's gridlocked. The whole city is just alive with pure joy and national pride. Even if it's an under 23 game.
Yeah. Even if it's just a win against Philippines in the semi-final. That's enough. No disrespect for Philippine football, yes.
Yeah. And I remember during that time, you'd be sat at home watching it and you would hear the crowds all down the street listening and watching football. And when there's a goal, the crowds go absolutely mad. But that's not happening anymore. So what happened?
First of all, I have to tell you that I'm not a typical Vietnam football fan you meet somewhere else. So I tend to think in a neutral perspective. And personally, I think the success in that era, in the Debao era, is overrated. Oh, it doesn't mean that we didn't deserve that success. But I think it was a temporary success in performance that covered the underlying issue with the broader football landscape in the country. And now we're just back to the harsh realities.
Which is?
Which is we are so bad in terms of management of the local league, the V-League. We are not doing well compared to other countries in terms of youth football developing. We're doing not good enough, or I can say doing so bad in terms of attracting brands and keeping the brands staying with football and let them help us to develop the football in the countries.
Does this explain a little bit why the V-League struggles so much to get supporters turn up to the grounds and watch the matches, and there's real lack of buzz for the V-League in Vietnam?
Okay, first, I think it's not fair to compare V-League games with the national team games in Meeting National Stadium. I have to tell you a story of if you're watching national team games, and you notice that the top leader in the country show up in the stand. And they are rarely to wear official jerseys of the national teams when they are attending the national team games. They just wear a regular red flag, yellow star t-shirt that you can buy for less than $3 on the street. Same as everyone understand. So the story here is people come for the national team, not to support the team itself. They support what the team represents in the countries. So football is like just to express the patriotism. People love the flag, they love the country, and that passion translates into the support in the stadium or in front of the TVs. There's no surprise when you see a lot of people who they never watch any V-League games, but they never miss any national team's game.
And they might not even like football.
Yeah, correct. Absolutely. So it's so obvious, but not many people recognize it, especially the brands. Mm. So you have to know the original shots of supporting a football fan when it comes to the national team. They support the countries. They support what the sport team represents, not the sport team itself. So going back to V-League, I'm not... V-League have their own issues, a lot of issues. It's a really bad management organization. So many unnecessary dramas. And they also lack a fresh idea to keep up with the rising football quality in the countries. So you imagine that in terms of individual talents, our players have been on par with other countries in Asia. But in terms of football management, we are miles behind Thailand or Indonesia, not saying with South Korea and Japan. They are different level. I would share more prime examples of how bad V-League is. So recently, there's a game between the current leader on the tables, Namding, and they have a match against Hanoi FC. Hanoi FC is the most decorated football club in V-League in history. And the stadium will pack up with 30,000 fans or something like that. The game itself is super entertaining, very good quality, high qualities of football. But you know what? The LED board around the football pitch doesn't work. And you can imagine that you spend billion Vietnam dong to be the sponsor of the league or sponsor of the team, and your brand doesn't show up in the most entertaining game of the season. And no one is saying even sorry. No one say it was our mistake. We will make it up for you. Or it's a unforeseen condition that we're trying to resolve, but it's failed. But no one say anything. I think it say a lot about the current conditions of V-League and local football.
And do you think the void the V-League has left amongst football fans in Vietnam means that it's created even more of a love for European football?
If I have to choose between yes and no, I think it's more a no. So it doesn't mean that I'm disagree with someone say, because the local football is so bad, we are leaning toward European football club. It doesn't like that. Football fans in Vietnam can be a supporter of multiple football club. Once in England, one in the US, Inter Miami, once in V-League, and one in J-League without any problem. But just because the time is limited, we only have 24 hours a day. And we don't want to sitting in front of the TV and watching Namding versus Hanoi instead of Brentford against Brighton or Aston Villa versus West Ham. It's an easy choice, right? It's easy choice. So I think there's a few factors that determines the way Vietnam fans support an European football club. So the first of all is the success of the football club itself. The fans lean toward European football club with rich history, like Barcelona or Manchester United. They've been there for so long with so many trophies, and no surprise that people being attracted by them. Second factor is star players, Ronaldo, Messi. We are living in the era when somehow players is bigger than the team. That's a fact.
Right.
We already talked about how Messi and Ronaldo changed the football scenes in the US, Saudi Arabia, with their appearance. So somehow people follow a star player rather than follow a team. And the third factor is very important. It's a media and marketing effort. So
by the football club.
By the football club. Or the football league. The way they enhance the fans' experience or fans' engagement to make them have reasons to stay longer with the club or the league and support the team. It's really important.
So to summarize, Vietnamese fans are looking at pretty much the teams that are doing well. They want to get behind
exactly.
Successful teams. We would call that glory supporters.
Okay.
Also, it's around where the star players are at.
Yes.
But also, it's where a European football club is making itself genuinely relevant in the daily lives of Vietnamese audiences through social media or through marketing efforts or activations in the country.
Yeah.
So would I be right in thinking then that Inter Miami with Messi, if they were to create a social media presence in Vietnam that genuinely connected with Vietnamese audiences on a daily basis, it would be able to grow its fan base in Vietnam quite significantly?
I think the eras of easily getting someone to become your fan is over. Nowadays, the fans or the football fans, they are more picky. You have to create a deep, meaningful relationship with them to be able to keep them stay with your club. Especially if you don't have a rich tradition like Manchester United or Barcelona. That's why I think German football club like Borussia Dortmund, they're doing very well, especially in Asia, because I think they targeting to be the number two favorite club of everyone. So they don't want to convert someone who supports Manchester United to become Borussia Dortmund, right? They become things like, okay, if Manchester United is not playing today, who should I watch? Who? Borussia Dortmund is playing attacking football. I see their Facebook page doing very well. Okay, let's try. And then those positivity image stay inside with the fans and gradually make them become a Borussia Dortmund or Bundesliga followers. And once you win people's mind, they're going to stay for a long time.
So they're quite loyal in that sense.
Yeah.
Once you convert them. It seems to me then that Vietnam symbolizes quite a large opportunity for these European football clubs with a huge population, growing middle class, more disposable income, obviously watching games the whole time. It poses a great opportunity for these global sports brands that want to build an audience overseas in a new growth market. I think like Manchester United did it well from early on. They yeah. understood the importance of growing audience fan bases around Asia. I would argue that Vietnam is there for the taking for any of these global sports brands that want to enter and nurture a growth market.
I think most people know that Vietnam is in an era called golden populations. So we have big numbers, big percentage of population under 30. The workforce is very young. And that also means the consuming powers is huge. Because when you're getting more money, you're getting riches, you want to buy more stuff, right? And the international brands, they already acknowledge that fact. We also very crazy about football and sport. So it's hard to ignore this 100 million people market and also one of the fastest growing economic in the world in the last decade. We might not really compare with Indonesia or Thailand, but we really be there. And I don't think that any football club or sport brands want to expand globally. They can be so confident that they ignore Vietnam market.
And I feel like there's a desire as well to like own official merchandise, go abroad and watch the matches and feel part of a brand. And I think we did a survey once where we surveyed football fans in Vietnam, and 89% of them thought that European football clubs could do more to connect with Vietnamese fans online. When we were the agency of the Bundesliga in Vietnam, we used to craft all sorts of daily content that was tapping into the trends that are happening in Vietnam on the ground. And the impact it had on audience growth for the Bundesliga was really remarkable. I remember one example was we had done this research up front and these focus groups where we understood that Vietnamese fans thought that Marco Reus was handsome. And on the day that a Vietnamese rapper, Den Vo, was trending on YouTube, and he had his head in the sea in the music video, and his rap lyrics were, "Why my rap's so good, it's a secret." So our social media newsroom for the Bundesliga quickly whipped up a meme of Marco Reus's head in the sea with a speech bubble saying, "Why am I so handsome, it's a secret."
Yeah.
The engagement on social media, the comments, the conversations it started among football fans in Vietnam, they could not believe that the Bundesliga was so connected and so embedded in Vietnamese culture.
Yeah.
And I think if these brands can do this on a daily basis, they can really grow a fan base in Asia, maybe the biggest fan base in Asia, in Vietnam. I think it's a real opportunity.
I think it's always about the building a deep and meaningful relationship and creating a sense of belonging for the fans whenever they're looking at the brand. So they really want the brand to be blended, integrated into their daily life. And daily life here meaning their social media feed. So if the brand can successfully integrate their image into the people's mind, easy success.
So if you could give three tips then to a global sports brand that wanted to enter Vietnam and build an audience of fans, what would they be?
Let's pretend that I'm talking to you as you are the international brand going to Vietnam. And my first advice I would give to you is to be humble. No matter how much success you have for other markets, no matter how successful your sport teams or sport organizations have on the field in the past years or decades, you need to be humble, listen to the fans or the audience you want to reach to, because each market have uniqueness. It's very different with everything you experienced so far. Be humble is the number one. The second thing is thinking in long term. You have to build a really deep connection with the fans. And if you are a football club, you just recruit a Vietnam football star to your team. And you thinking okay, let's take advantage of the 6-month contract. Let's try to sell as much as jerseys to Vietnamese people as possible. I think you are wrong from the beginning, because 6 months is not enough, not long enough to build a connection, to build a loyalty, to build an urge attached to your football club from the people in Vietnam. Thinking in long term, instead of just taking advantage of some temporary event or trending on the social media. And the third one would be really important. The third one is finding a trust and reliable local partners. I really impressed with the post you say on LinkedIn a few weeks ago about the amount of uncertainties in Vietnam. And from my personal perspective, the amount of uncertainty will be rising and rising. There is more and more unspoken rules that even people living here for a long time don't know about. You know what I mean, right?
Yeah.
And that's why finding a reliable local partners becomes the utmost priorities. Become the most important thing you have to consider before you enter the market.
Because of the unpredictable nature of it, the unwritten rules, the culture of business here,
yes,
building relationships and trust. And even then, it can still go wrong, right? It's about having a local partner that you trust on the ground.
Yes.
I like those tips. So it's be humble, treat Vietnam with the respect it deserves as a different market, because what worked in Thailand, Malaysia, Indonesia isn't necessarily going to work.
Absolutely.
In Vietnam. Mm. The second one was having a long-term view and a long-term vision. It's building an audience of loyal fans here isn't going to happen overnight. And the third one is finding a local partner that can help you execute that on the ground. I would also add to that, if I may, frequency. I think it's important to be relevant in the daily lives of Vietnamese people, not just a Chúc Mừng Năm Mới post when it's Lunar New Year, not just a Good Luck Vietnam's national football team post, which I know works, right? Because you're tapping into that national pride, but that's just not enough. Neither is one post a week. I think it's all about creating as much resonance as possible on a daily basis with Vietnamese fans, entertaining them, generating conversation. And the fifth tip that I would add would be to trust that partner that you've got to experiment with ways of using your existing content and assets in a way that will really work for Vietnamese audiences. Is trusting them to publish content, experiment with unique ways of generating conversation here. Like with that Marco Reus example, the Bundesliga didn't say to us, oh, you can't Photoshop Marco Reus's head into the sea. That's off brand. That's not going to work with headquarters. I think it's almost letting go a little bit with a trusted partner to experiment with creative ways that are going to tap into Vietnam's trends and resonate with Vietnamese consumers. So I think together there's 5 pretty good tips there.
Yeah. 3 from me and 2 from you.
What a team. Really quickly, this seems like a good time to say that if you're a global sports brand, or any brand for that matter, looking to enter the Vietnamese market and grow an audience you can commercialize, why not ask me about WeCreate Content's pre-launch positioning lab, the only high-intensity process that uses primary research and filmed focus groups with your ideal customers in Vietnam to understand how your brand is currently perceived here. We then spotlight all the white space and the opportunities for your brand to own with local positioning and messaging. And we even give you an action plan and content strategy to help you unlock the hearts and minds of Vietnamese audiences. Now, I'd like to end these episodes, Thien, with asking you, what are you most excited about for the future of Vietnam, either in the sports industries or just generally?
Once again, I would like to give 3 points. The first one, and I'm only saying about the futures of Vietnamese sport, the sport landscape in Vietnam only. The first one is, I think we cannot ignore the growing niche sport, like the what we're talking about baseball, or billiard, or triathlon. Because there's only one way for their development. It only keep rising. And it's offering new opportunities, not only for talents, but also for the brand to become more emerged and excel in the international state and in terms of revenue as well. So the first point about niche market, niche sport growing. The second point is the rise of income and increasing purchasing powers among Vietnamese sport fans. It presents a really great prospect for the futures of the sport in the countries, because you know that in the past, we see people buying official jerseys from European football teams. Nowadays, we see it on the street. There's more spending $1 or $2 million down. It's still a huge money, amount of money, but it's not rare like what happened in the past. So the increased purchasing power. And the third point is probably the increasing involvement of mega corporation in sport in Vietnam. So business leaders, businessmen, they recognize the potential of sport, maybe as an investment, maybe in terms of financial, in terms of brand enhancement, or they just love sport so much that they want to be involved, become a part of that. So we can see more and more mega corporate appear on sport. Even they become a sport owners, or they invest in sport or whatever. But definitely we will see more of them in the sport scene.
You've been listening to You Don't Know Vietnam. I'm Ian Paynton from We Create Content. I'd like to thank DJ Jace from the Beat Saigon for their epic soundtrack. And a massive thank you to you for making it all the way to the end.